You're listening to PlayStation Unchained.
What's up, PlayStation Universe? This is your E3 show floor team on the ground in Los Angeles, and we just got back to our hotel room from the Sony E3 2014 press conference. So we just thought we'd bring you a special episode of PlayStation Unchained to give you some of our impressions from being there at the show, witnessing these things firsthand, and we've been just diving right into our impressions and opinions right off the bat ever since we left the show floor. So I'm trying to think of a good way to encapsulate all this, and that might be to say, so right off the bat, let's start. We'll go around the circle. We'll start with you, Ernest.
Okay.
What was your highlight moment, the best thing you saw at Sony's show?
Best thing I saw at Sony's show was... I would say Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really stunning in-game trailer that it showed, and
this is like the one prediction that I actually got right about the show, which was that they would close out with Uncharted 4. Remember that?
Yeah. I thought maybe when the screen went black, that there was a chance it was Last Guardian.
Right. I think we were all waiting with bated breath.
No, I knew it was.
Okay.
It had to be Uncharted at that point.
We all did. We all did think that the Last Guardian was going to show up.
At least mentioned.
Just like a nod.
Just like a prod at a joke or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if PSU listeners would follow us on Twitter, they would have seen that we all had the yes bets put in. I think I tweeted that we were all waiting to see, and we thought it would show up.
But I guess it makes sense that they wouldn't have done like a little prod at it because they want to save face with their the media outlet that serves them.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. That was mine.
So Uncharted 4, A Thieves' End.
Singular.
So what wowed you about the trailer? I mean, obviously, I'm sitting here going the ferns. For me, it was the jungle. For me, it was kind of because I think with the Last Generation, we approached a point, especially even with like The Last of Us, where like character models and facial animation were really getting to this peak. Point of visual fidelity.
This
was extending to the environment to me.
I think it was an element of like the environment and also just this really subtle refinements in these little areas with not only the environment but the character animation and movement and stuff.
Right.
So
yeah.
When I saw him, like,
little of it we got.
Yeah, it was a little of it, and, just kind of the facial
detail on the scruff of his facial hair.
A lot of the hair and some of the facial expressions, how the skin moves and changes. Yeah,
we'll get back to Uncharted 4 in a second because there's a lot of things to do with Nathan Drake that I think the really interesting points maybe teased by that trailer, but. Jonathan, for you, what was the highlight moment?
Well, my new latest thing has been fighting games, so I'm probably going to throw out there Mortal Kombat. The animations, I mean, actually seeing real gameplay was just awesome. I mean, interacting with the background, the actual level itself, swinging on trees, I mean, you can't go wrong with another, Scorpion Sub-Zero fight. I mean, it was just insane. And then seeing, like, what I'm assuming is the new version of the X-Ray move.
Right, yeah. Skull Breaks, yeah.
Which,
Hurt so good.
that is a good phrase. They hurt so good.
They were very interestingly integrated. Now, I'm not a Mortal Kombat player or a fighting game fan, really, by any means, but from the snippets I've seen of, like, Mortal Kombat 9, the X-Ray, like punches and special moves aren't really shown in, like suddenly the camera breaks away from that and, like, zooms in for a super cinematic
It didn't show in this one that, like, it kind of did, but it didn't. Obviously, they didn't have, like, health bars or anything, or meters, so it was kind of hard to tell, like, when they were actually breaking away.
Right.
But in, like, 9, they do, like, it, everything stops, it zooms in on them, and it shows an actual X-ray of the bones breaking and stuff like that, muscle tissue.
What wowed me most in the Mortal Kombat demo was just the visuals, the graphics, especially on the Scorpion Sub-Zero forest stage, the light casting from that background, like this gloomy, fogged-up forest, like it was just really, really impactful. Like, one of the best-looking things
I saw all day, frankly.
Were those stages like the normal size?
Yeah. For Mortal Kombat? Yeah, those okay. are those are normal size stages.
Okay. I thought maybe it was a little bit bigger.
I mean, it seemed maybe like the detail was just so immense that it probably seemed a little bigger. Okay. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, the stages were the same. It's just the detail was just so much higher because obviously it's a next gen or current gen, I should say. Yeah. And it was just wonderfully, wonderfully done. I mean, the character models also really impressed me. Like,
oh, for sure.
The detail on the costumes and, like, the actual hits and stuff like that. And, I mean, you know, Sub-Zero, his classic ice daggers and...
The animation fooled me in a few cases. Like, I had the brief back of my mind thought, like, that looks CG. You know what I mean? Like, just the twirls and like, the spinning yeah. kicks.
And that's all...
Your burst of flame. And that's what it's all gameplay. About. Right?
Yeah, it's exactly. all gameplay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Crazy to see that kind of thing. Will, how about you?
Still probably Destiny. Mm-hmm. That was a good way to open, and there's the continued support, ridiculous amount of support that they have with that. But I'd say that was the most overall, but I'd say it's still the biggest surprise was just the Little Big Planet 3 just showing up, just kind of out of the blue. That was the biggest surprise, but... My favorite part of the show still is Destiny.
No rumors and no inclination.
Nothing.
No.
Just happened.
Just the weirdest, like,
it'll be out in November or whatever. Hey, and yeah, like,
have some standalone Infamous DLC, and then four people come out on stage. Oh, hey, they're going to go. Nope, Little Big Planet 3. Yeah.
Well, you and I were talking a little bit about this on the bus ride back, and that was about how the natural sort of pace and mistakes of the demo actually felt really good, because usually that can go, like, horribly wrong, as we've seen with, like, Wonder Book a couple years ago went horribly wrong. And, you know,
Well, that was more, like, technical type of not getting things to work.
That's just motion controls.
This was just, like, this was just Little Big Planet happening. Like,
Yeah,
but then they had, with the little, what was the bird's name?
Swoop.
It was Swoop, So, like,
The little safety net. Perfect tool for a nice vertical slice of gameplay.
Yeah, no, but Destiny, I'm still super excited about that and how much support that they're giving that and how just the exclusive amount of exclusivity that they have with it is just kind of ridiculous as a third-party title, which I don't know if I...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, beta.
Alpha.
Coming out. Alpha is starting Thursday. Weekend, yeah. And then the beta being open to everyone, is that what it was?
Yeah, well, July 17th,
like,
or
later.
Was that the 30th?
Isn't
so you don't have
July,
to pre-order but... anymore to get the beta?
So, PlayStation know. Users do not.
So.
Okay.
But still, pre-order it, good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get on that, for sure. Yeah, I think there's something telling about Sony starting its conference with a third-party title. And at Microsoft's presser this morning, it was all about the third party, and, like, they came out swinging with Call of Duty, and, like, that was their big thing. To me, that's, for the last 2, 3, 4 years, that's been Microsoft to, like, hit home with a really strong third-party partnership, drive it home with early DLC, kind of the early beta access. And I almost thought that Sony was going to go the other way, which they usually do. They usually come out swinging with their first party, their exclusive IP, and this was actually, like, no, we can play the third-party game, too.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like
a nice mix of
the
them.
Tables have turned from the last generation, and now we're the guys that, like, Bungie wants to be, you know.
I think they definitely learned, especially when the PS3 was initially out, and there was a lot, kind of a lack of third-party support, because the PS3 was so difficult to support, and then a lot of the ports were inferior to the 360 version, so I think it clicked, and Sony said, hey, we've got to make sure that we support our third parties, you know, make sure they have the tools and have very capable ports.
And it's working for them, Destiny looks fantastic, and it seems like the relationship is as strong as ever. Mm-hmm. The Alpha was a great surprise. Yeah, did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's too bad that we don't really get to purchase.
I know. I was just going to say, PSU listeners, by all means, go register for the alpha on, I think it's greatnessawaits.com/destiny.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so hit up that alpha, but we will not be home in time to play it.
Maybe a day.
Yeah, we'll get a few
maybe
hours.
Maybe like a day or two, but the servers will be too busy, so I don't think it'll really matter.
Server errors all over the place.
But we were talking about exclusive. Yeah, next most notable thing was, for me anyway, was the Order. Actually seeing the creatures, because I always thought they were werewolves. That was my first impression, which it kind of did that at first, and I was like, oh, I was right, and then it stopped transforming. I was like, what the hell is this?
Talked.
Yeah, and then it talked. Yeah, and yeah, and it was like, it wasn't like grunting, talking thing. It was like an actual, like, an intelligent being that was just, like, looked down on it. Essentially called it a swine. Mm. So it was like inferior type of thing, and like, so I was like,
that's, to me, that's...
It has so much depth into that little comment that was made there that you can...
There's an air of mystery.
There's a lot of a lot of stuff going on in that that really interests me. Yeah.
I think to me that is what elevated this particular gameplay of the Order versus what we've seen in the past is that the enemy was revealed to actually be to some degree of intelligent race, right? That transformation was sick, and then you did have this almost menacing conversation. It's like suddenly it's like. You like it's the fun thing to say now that in a post-apocalyptic or a zombie survival game, like it's the people that you need to be more afraid of, right? Because the people are intelligent. Mm-hmm. The people are the ones who will betray you. In the Order's world, it's like the intelligent monsters because they're like people except they're ferocious like beasts.
They've got physical power to
exactly.
them.
Yeah.
And one apparently eat you.
Yeah. I thought it was like, oh crap, it's just a zombie game or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh god. And then there's like, no, it's not. Oh,
quick,
god.
Powerful, and intelligent.
Yeah, that was a really cool gameplay, though. It was just having it, like, looming, just, like, slowly coming towards him.
Yeah.
Just, like, keep walking, and just, like, how helpless he seemed the whole time.
He's taking shots, and it's not
and
really
doing
anything.
It didn't even resolve at all, because he still was shooting at it with his bigger gun.
Right.
Just, like, it just dove at him, and then they cut it.
And I'm sure caught it, but, I mean, obviously, Ready at Dawn's intent is to make this as unnoticeable as possible, but the seamless transitions between gameplay and what we traditionally consider to be cutscene are more prominent and more well done in the Order than I think anything I've ever seen. That was the point they really drove home when I played it in February, was that's the idea, right? I think my demo opened with Galahad and I want to say it was Percival. I don't remember who his companion at the time was.
Okay.
But they were looking out over the city. And so they'd be looking out, and you'd get a cutscene view of them holding, like, the periscope, and then you would just be in the periscope, right, like, highlighting targets for an airstrike, and then it would cut back out in an instant to the continuing cutscene. And here in the demo, it was like, taking the shots as he's running behind him, and suddenly he's caught up to you, and there's no... I think back to, like, Uncharted 2 and 3, and it was kind of doing that thing, except you'd always have just, like, a split-second hitch that you just, like, felt it, and then it was back into cutscene.
Or it just kind of...
Totally seamless.
You'd see the camera just kind of shift and then pull out kind of dramatically.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
So.
But, yeah, very impressed by that as well. For me, it was No Man's Sky, and I think that's... maybe that owes it... That owes some part to... how much I wish we would have seen more of Mass Effect at EA's conference. But actually, I think there was a certain... I really liked what... I forget his name, but the director of the lead with Hello Games, Sean, said on stage about trying to recapture that... like the playful imagination. I don't know if he used these words exactly, but the message I got from him was like the imagination of youth. Like this... the endless possibility of discovery, like just the excitement of going in a direction and knowing that you're going to find something new, that you're going to find something different than what you've seen before. And I totally got that sense when it felt honestly like a roller coaster to me, maybe because we had the best seats in the house. We were down like 10 rows back from stage. It was super great. But the swoop of like the three or four spaceships as they would like leave the planet, leave the atmosphere, pitch, you know, straight vertical and head for the skies, and then suddenly you're in space. And there's planets, there's
other
enemy starships.
Going around, enemy starships, and then oh my goodness, it was so seamless, it felt so adventurous to then even come back down from that towards a planet surface, and then suddenly, oh, it's the planet, and there's craters and canyons
everywhere. Well, and I mean, like, they also had the pursuit scene where they, you know... had spaceships that had been, or, you know, enemy starships, whatever, that were fighting in space, and then dove down into an atmosphere of a planet, a random planet, and continued the dogfighting.
Yeah.
I think, like, something like that was just really awesome to see as well.
Yeah. It was really cool, but there wasn't enough there for me to be very interested in it.
It does seem like it's still in the very early stages.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very superficial idea at the moment. It was what was conveyed. It was just like a fun adventure explorative thing, but what hooks you
to right, what's going. The story, right?
And then there's that very ambitious claim that every planet you start on is going to be, you know, unique and, you know, special and something that no other player is going to experience. And I wonder, like, how... Like, what are they going to categorize as, like, hey, this planet is unique enough that we can count it, you know, as being legitimately unique?
I always think back to the Spelunky model when I do stuff like this, right? Because every stage of Spelunky is randomly generated off of a seed from which sprouts, like variations of the building blocks of a level, right? And there are certain rules in place that say, like, a level that's, you know, if the gate of a mine is up in such and such corner, the exit's always going to be down here, but it's the stuff in between that changes. So I wonder if every planet generated has, like, certain building blocks that are essential to a planet.
Kind of a framework.
But then from there, it can spread out. And like, there might be rules, like, you can't have a cliff that, like, flips in on itself and does some crazy crap like that. You know, it has to make reasonable sense, but yeah, other than that, I don't know.
I'm kind of wondering, like, what is this game going to have, like, some type of progression system of any sort, like a level up?
Yeah, it's progression.
If it's an arcadey type of thing, where you get points just, or if you do...
Do you spend money on a ship? Can you customize it?
Can you upgrade it? I mean, obviously, there's a weapon system.
And they were also recognizing, identifying new species and stuff was one of the first things where it showed. So it's like, how does that contribute to what it is, or what do you do? Does it matter? Is it like a little novelty thing where you like keep a scrapbook type of thing in your menu?
Scrapbook that everybody gets to see if they go to that planet. You are the first one to discover it. I mean, obviously, it's tagged with your, you know, what I guess would be PSN name, saying you discovered this.
But I mean, frankly, there were plenty of standout moments for me. I loved a lot of the third-party stuff. Far Cry 4 looked great. Mm-hmm. Arkham Knight looked goddamn fantastic. Like, just absolutely
basically speechless.
Fidelity. Yes. Yeah. Jaw to the floor during Arkham.
They have so many polygons now. It's no, like, they show it off with Batman's armor alone, you know?
The blades flipping out.
Segmented modular pieces.
Like metal.
Yeah, all the clicking together.
And the Batmobile seemed to control really smoothly.
The tank
control was interesting.
A function of it.
I mean, just how it just kind of, like, stopped and moved.
Well, his wheels, like, turned sideways, I think.
What it did and how it was able to do that, it just seemed to really very... Like, obviously it's not realistic, but it seemed, like really unrealistic, where it just kind of, like, stopped and, like, went... Kind of like these really quick twitchy movements that like should not be.
Batman we're talking about. Yeah. So I just suspect he would have enough money to make whatever he wants.
Lucian Fox.
It seems a little too
bad. Yeah, of all the surprises, Entwined was a great surprise. I would just put No Man's Sky and just the feeling of adventure that I felt, almost feeling as if I was in the cockpit of that demo.
One of the most interesting things. For me, was in the Phantom Pain trailer that it showed the facility in Metal Gear Solid 2.
I thought that too. That was Big Shell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
What the hell?
Is that for sure?
Oh, without question. Without question. Okay. Like, before they even zoomed out and saw that, that's what I knew it was.
Mother Base had kind of an
There's the possibility that such happens in Ground Zeroes, maybe they rebuild.
Well, I mean, it would make sense. Obviously, I would assume that it was an oil tanker and it was there long before the events of 2 took place.
Right.
So, I mean, it would make sense for that time period, for a couple of decades of time frame. Mm-hmm. Actually, not even by that point. It'd be maybe like a few years
between that point. Where it is.
Yeah, whenever it takes place within the Phantom Pain or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still want to know.
Although in 2, wasn't it like a special like offshore cleaning facility that was supposed to be like?
It's over by New York.
It was erected in response to like a big spill. Yeah. Because that's how the game opens.
Yep. Is he jumps out the Brooklyn Bridge? So it's over in New York.
Well, there's gonna be some BS Kojima explanation.
Well, you never know. Well, I mean, you don't know what in the time frame it was in it, because I mean.
Yeah.
But that was still. I want to know what was going on with him having the giant chunk of metal in his head. And, like, he had the giant open head wound.
Mm. Yeah, that's sure. Yeah, that's and been it was just like, in, like, some, like a, several of the trailers.
It's yeah, like, it's just like, this? Why is it... Yeah.
People assume...
I didn't remember him missing an arm, either, like, in the...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the past trailers that show when he gets in a car accident.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, like, that's what they opened in the very first Phantom Pain trailer, was he had, like, a hook kind of thing instead.
Yeah.
But
in this one, four, like, but a mechanical
lightsaber. Yeah, yeah, right. I know what it is.
But still, but even, like, in Metal Gear Solid 4,
Ground
Zeroes showed up.
Yeah,
he did,
Ground, Ground Zeroes explains the arm thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just seeing the head still, thing yeah, well, I haven't played that, obviously, but, I mean, still, that didn't make sense to me, because in 4, that there wasn't anything that seemed notable of that, but he was wearing a glove. And
oh,
a coat,
with Epcar, yeah.
But
yeah.
with him,
that's a good point.
That seemed really strange to me, and it seemed like another, like a Kojima thing, where, like, I'm just gonna do this, and you just kind of...
Plastic surgery.
Skin grafts, nanotechnology, something.
Right.
Nanomachines rebuilt parts.
So, I don't know, but...
All right, so then let's go back the other way. What was the low point of the conference for you guys? Ernest, how about you? What really left?
I think a lot of us have.
I think a lot of us are going to say the same thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll seem to have a unique one. So.
No, I mean it's going to be similar to what was said, but the things that it kind of relays into what we had talked about.
Well, I'll say
out of the podcast.
Powers.
But, yeah, powers.
Exclusive television programming.
Yeah,
that
I'm
was pretty
way.
Much the point that I looked that around kind of in the crowd, like around us, and everyone was basically on their cell phone doing all of their normal checkup things posting. Because that was the point in time where it just lulled. And,
right.
I mean, and the thing is, like Ernest and I were talking about earlier, like, I mean, I don't think this was particularly the right audience to necessarily capture interest.
No, this would have been fantastic at, say, like, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But I think E3 was just the wrong... It was the group that it should have been exposed to, but not the right group, in a way.
Yeah.
It was a big group.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder if the length of the showing for both Powers and the Ratchet and Clank movie to some extent, but mostly for Powers, there are parts of the business that we don't understand as writers and journalists, so I wonder if, you know, there's contractual obligation to
talk about
what Sony Pictures is doing, like those kind of things, especially since at the PS4 reveal, not the reveal, but the Sony's E3 conference last summer, they did bring, the head president of Sony Pictures on stage to kind of lay the foundation for this original.
They're like, yeah, we're doing
coming.
This.
So,
yeah,
so they have to make do on that promise, right?
I feel as though that targeted a broader audience, though, versus this where it's like comic book. It's like not even like a well known comic book.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it was trying to target a particular
case
audience.
In point. He had the, you know, he took 4 or 5 minutes to explain the story.
Whereas I feel as though if he would have taken 4 to 5 minutes for the whole presentation, it would have been fine.
Yeah, it would have been less offensive at least.
Yeah.
Right, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Instead of taking it away and talking about it here is one of the lulls.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was interested to see it after he explained what it was, but it took a while to
get
there.
Yeah, that's why I told Jonathan, is like, if they had shown like a trailer, then I think it wouldn't have been as bad, because people would have been like, oh, this really does seem interesting, and I understand why they're doing
And they're
this.
Still casting, and so this is like nothing's been committed yet.
Right.
They're like, yeah, we can do it. We
haven't done
anything.
The project could be dropped for all we know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's that, like, that's, you know, we talk about how, say, the first half of the conference with this rapid stream of indie titles and self-published titles really caters to the core PlayStation enthusiast, like the person who's going to pull out their PlayStation app and buy Entwined because it's available now. That person, at least my perception is, their PlayStation ecosystem does not include this original programming. It's something very new to Sony. It's something that frankly they're kind of following in Microsoft's footsteps on, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think the audience was there for it, and there really is no precedent in PlayStation history for the PlayStation faithful to care.
So
you're basically banking that announcement on there being like this, oh, yeah, he's a fan, and he's a fan, like, pointing people across the conference.
And again, they didn't give us a reason to care. They didn't show a trailer or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, Will, what was, was that your low moment too?
Well, that was one, for sure, but that's not the one that I was thinking of before.
The one that I was thinking of was that it was completely missed. Well, not completely, but they did not treat their opportunity with the Vita as well as they could have, by far.
Certainly not.
And part of what I was thinking about it was when we had talked about earlier today about how heavily kind of like for like RPGs anyway, how heavily influenced at the moment it is with Western developers. Now there isn't much Japanese support going on at the moment, but Vita is getting a lot of Japanese support in a lot of the things like Freedom Wars and those kind of things.
Oh, definitely.
And that would have been an amazing thing to showcase at
E3.
And showing like all of the Vita support that is being gotten through like all the Japanese developers that are happening right then.
Yeah.
And, like, that would have been a good thing to do to show like.
I thought it was kind of funny when they said, our commitment to Vita still remains a pillar of PlayStation or whatever.
Yeah.
In the same breath,
he's moving on to the next topic.
Yeah, you say that, but your actions don't really reflect that.
No, not at all. No. Because it's always, we hear the same line at each of these shows, which is, we'll tell you more about these exciting Vita titles in the months to come.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really do that last year.
Yeah.
In the 12 months to come, when you show some logos at you know.
Yeah, like,
the next year.
They might write it on PlayStation blog, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't go out of their way, really.
Which the people reading the PlayStation blog articles are the ones who already have a Vita.
Yeah, they already have it.
Coming and who petitioned to bring Tales of Hearts R over. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there is, like, the Vita, far more than PS4 at this point, has that wealth of Japanese talent.
Oh, for sure. It's almost, there's almost a drought of Western support. Like,
it's a weird foot for sure.
At this point now, there's like almost a drought of Japanese support for PlayStation 4, because they want to keep supporting what's out there, because they know it's going to be successful.
Yeah.
So, and they're focusing on the mobile and the portable areas more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, those things in mind.
What are yours?
Oh, my low moments? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be Powers.
Okay.
I mean, to some extent, I mean, Powers, and also, I really didn't think this was the place for a Ratchet & Clank movie trailer. I think it's certainly more relevant to the people in that room than Powers, but it's still, from the moment that was announced, I never felt like it was an entity that had anything to do with PlayStation as a gaming brand, and it really isn't.
Uh-huh.
What needed to be talked about more in that moment was this Ratchet & Clank remaster. Like, give us a trailer, some gameplay of how in I think it was Andrew House at the time.
Yep.
In his words, is from the remaster with PlayStation 4 technology, like new assets, new environments, like all those kinds of things, with a new studio. Insomniac isn't handling it because Sony owns Ratchet, but.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I can understand it not being ready, and in which case, just maybe tell us about it and give us a logo.
Yeah.
But, God, far, far too much time was spent on programming. And
that movie trailer just wasn't that good, period. You know?
It is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Arguably, a CG movie is a form of electronic entertainment, but it's not what we're here for.
No.
Right? E3 is interactive. It's video games. And,
yeah.
And that was, I haven't counted, but 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes of not video games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think this was the year that is all about games. And so, and in that sense, I mean, in a technical manner of speaking, Microsoft beat Sony in terms of pure, like, percentage of their conference time allotted to games. I think Sony's games are far and away better than Microsoft's.
It seems
the
like...
The stuff they showed and the stuff down the pipeline.
Yeah, I think on a percentage of actual content, it seemed flipped. Because last year, Microsoft was all about, like, the social experience, the media, all that kind of stuff. Whereas Sony was like, hey, bam, we're gonna do... Hardware, obviously, like Microsoft also did, but they're like, hey, games. We're just showing you all of these games coming out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Overall impressions. Ernest, how would you score the Sony conference on PSU's 0 to 10 scale, 1 to 10 scale?
I'll let them slip in with an 8.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
She said 10 or 20 point scale?
0 to 10 points with half-point intervals, 20-point scale.
So 20 points scale. Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
What's your pros and cons? What did you like and dislike?
Pros, Vita TV was announced.
Vita TV wasn't announced. PlayStation TV was announced.
Okay.
Vita TV rebranded as PlayStation TV.
Yeah, right. it goes to show how much to support they're giving the Vita and trust in it.
Reveals of some new games. Seeing that PlayStation Now is getting proper third-party support, which has been my concern. In regards to Now, is I think that's one of the key things that would make or break it, is whether or not they can get a full breadth library of titles, and it looks like they can, because they have just about every major studio on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. And then some of the cons, the sort of lulls with the programming, you know, talking about the Ratchet Clank film, powers, lack of Last Guardian.
I feel like that's a unanimous agreement between all of us, that it wasn't even, like, mentioned.
Where do we even go from here on The Last Guardian? I mean, we just came out of this controversy before the Sony's presser. No,
they had to say something. Like, and, they had to.
But they didn't.
And I know. Didn't.
Now just everyone just does not care anymore.
At this point, I honestly
feel like I would treat this as Sony just kind of dismissing it. I mean, obviously, it was a huge thing, and it caused a huge uproar.
Yeah.
Like, the day before all these conferences, and then
you'd have to
just damage control.
Yeah. Like, I feel as though if they would have been like, hey, even a quick, we're making it, don't worry, would have been better damage control than just not saying anything at all.
I will say, as a point in Sony's favor, I don't think we'd be having this conversation if IGN hadn't published that report about its cancellation. And, I mean, we'd still be saying, oh, it's disappointing we didn't see The Last Guardian this year. But we wouldn't be treating it with, like, the same, like lethality. Like, oh, it's dead. Because,
than I have in the years past, because they've kept couple of different confirmations that they're still doing it as reassurances in the last couple of months, where they never did that the years before.
Right.
So the fact that they've been openly talking about that it's still happening, we're still doing it, and they've been turning down all the rumors that say otherwise, this was a time where they had to say something, officially, in a formal like platform, not just on a website.
Correct.
So, that's...
just the last con, I guess, would be some other titles not showing up. Deep Down, Freedom Wars, whatever Guerrilla Games is working on, maybe like Media Molecule, you know, what they're working, because we don't know if...
That was a weird thing. I think we could probably clarify it for ourselves by hitting up the interwebs right now and checking it out.
But seems whenever there's a Media Molecule project, they have that, you know, M with the, you know, logo.
It's front and center. Yeah. So, yeah, we don't know. We need to check on this Little Big Planet 3 development situation and see who's handling it. But, yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah,
so, that's fine. Yeah. A good showing from our friends at Sony.
Yeah.
I mean... For pros, I mean, obviously
score.
All of your...
Score.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, score. That's right.
You need to assign an arbitrary number.
You have to do it first.
I'm probably going to do, like, a 6.5. I actually was fairly disappointed with a lot of things. I mean, there were a lot of things that were there that were good. I mean, all of your big AAA third-party titles. I mean, you know, Destiny, Batman, all that kind of stuff. You know, Far Cry. There were just a lot lacking, I think, in, like, their first-party department. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest problem I had. And, I mean, as much as, you know, I like third-party games and as much as I like indie games, I also, something that sells me a console is first-party titles as well. Like, it has to be, like, an equal, healthy balance of everything, of all of those types of games. So I felt like the first party selection was lacking overall. But then again, I mean, you have Mortal Kombat, and I'm super psyched for that because, well, not as hard as an Arc game like BlazBlue or Guilty Gear, but Mortal Kombat is still good. Yeah. So
Every fighting game has its place.
Yeah.
Every style.
Yeah.
For sure.
Except for Aquapaza.
That
game is just awful.
Or what was the Star Wars fighting game on PS1?
Oh, that piece of garbage that we're not even...
Or what was the Square Enix fighting game on PS1?
Air Guys? That game is awesome. Don't even dare talk bad about that.
What about Sonic Fighters?
You know, I actually never played that, surprisingly.
Ooh, I've got that on you.
Owned the Inuyasha PS1 fighting game.
I can only imagine that is just beautiful. I can only imagine.
It's okay.
Will, how'd you leave the Sony conference?
7.5.
7.5.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had a lot that they could have done that they didn't do, but a lot of it makes sense why they didn't do it, just because of the timing of things. But.
Sure, yeah. Tough situation.
Good. I agree with John, too, as we were talking before, about how there was a lack of just a complete lack of Square Enix showing up at all or having any kind of mention or doing anything.
Which, granted, I believe Deep Silver is like some kind of like subsidiary of Square Enix or Square Enix owns them in some way, but...
They I don't think that's right, actually. I think it's just Coke Media.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, there's no tie there.
But yeah, even like...
We're like a Japanese developer.
Anything. Yeah, they didn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that the kind of stuff was just not existing there. And I still... I was half-heartedly hoping for, like, Insomniac to do something. just to make an appearance. But I feel like... I feel like some... Their relationship with Sony's been damaged in some way, where they're just kind of like, eh, we're going to take a break from you for a while.
Yeah, it'd be fun to... So, it'd be interesting to hear the story behind that.
So that kind of thing. That has not... That doesn't reflect my opinion of the conference in any shape, but that was just a side note. But
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, deep down, I didn't understand why that didn't show up. Because they had, like, early footage last year, and it was... really good, and you'd imagine they'd have made progress since
that,
then.
That was actually as far back as the PS4 reveal itself.
It was, yes. Yeah. Yep, that's where
so that was, I would have thought there'd be something there. They didn't have Drive Club or anything like that, which is kind of interesting why, but...
Ooh, I think it was in a sizzle reel.
Yeah, of course. Well, there were a few things that were in a sizzle reel that didn't show up.
Would have been a perfect time to like put some of the points. The 51 fact list about Drive Club on the PlayStation blog is a fantastic read and really, really shines a light on what that game is doing in terms of its incredible attention to detail. And I think the conference could have been a good place to kind of put that out to mainstream eyes and be like, here's a few snippets from that in the form of a trailer or a sizzle reel. Like the clouds that refract light differently, and then the wind speed changes. So
weird stuff. And then like Last Guardian was kind of a letdown that there was just no comment of any kind. But other than that, I mean they had strong, they opened strong, ended strong. Which are the two main important things. But then like Bloodborne got buried in the middle, which is a shame because that was like one of their only Japanese developers that actually was showing support. They just kind of hurriedly rushed aside. Yeah. It's just like a brief introduction by Shuhei Yoshida and then a mainly CG trailer and then it was gone.
And
then it was it before that or after that was the Let It Die thing, which I still don't understand.
What Suda 51. Is there anything to understand, or just accept it as it is?
Don't even know what I saw. So I was just kind of
maybe some Manhunt vibes.
It looked like it was a fighter, but then it wasn't. But it was, mainly live action. But they threw some CG stuff on top, and then they had
almost like a Borderlands. To a degree. Like, because you saw, like the characters
really
had...
really gritty...
Yeah, like, a really...
like ultra gritty.
Like, Borderlands Saw.
Instead of going cel-shaded and, like, bright colors and, like, that, like, happy-ish kind of, like, I'm killing everything vibe that you get from Borderlands, it's more of, like, this gritty, like, just... You know, deep, dark, down, just... massacring, like, other things.
That was just weird.
I think I'm gonna fly in... at your height, Will, and also scored a 7.5. For me, Sony did mostly right by its third party presentations and its wealth of indie games. I think that earns a lot of points in my book. Even if these aren't exclusive titles, they're still really, really thrilling gameplay and cool announcements about like the exclusive, you know, Destiny beta access. You have the Hardline stuff from earlier in the day. I know I probably shouldn't count that. But,
well, they had exclusive game, exclusive trailer. They had a lot of exclusive footage from games that already had been shown today. Yeah, so that was something that they did that gave them a leg up over other people.
So I definitely give a lot of credit for the stronger third party presence, and that's something different for Sony. Actually, it's refreshing in a way to almost see that kind of, almost like the PlayStation is stepping out of its insular kind of very, very first party, very creative tent. Certainly that's very, very important, but to say that we can compete in this mean world of third party relations is really cool.
It seems like they're hitting this nice arc with developers where like last year was like all indies, indies, and now now that the indies have been established, It's like third-party people.
And we're finally starting to see the fruits of that come to bear with Destiny and
And that was releases. Like PS4 was huge help for that, just because of easier architecture and everything for that. So it was just, and now it's the preferred system for most developers, which is incredible for them.
The lead, lead platform. Yeah.
Where the show let me down was primarily in the same breath, as much as I like to see the strong third-party presence. Despite a few very welcome surprises, indie titles among them, No Man's Sky, Entwined, Little Big Planet 3.
Broforce.
I
just said that because I like it.
What was shown of first party that I think we went into the show most caring to see was it wasn't quite there for me. Like, I wanted to see more Uncharted. Maybe that's selfish to say. What we got of Uncharted, I frankly expected, like, the game to be further along, or the slice that they wanted to show to be further along.
It's coming out next year.
Sure.
That's what it said. So there's
I'm
adding to your point, saying that they should have had
more. It's coming out next year,
they
should have had more.
They should have had more, it's coming out next year. So
at max, we have a year and a half.
I'm thinking November launch date for that.
Which would be, right in line with what we've come to expect. So I think, It wasn't quite the controller dropping moment to finish out to end the show on. You know, Drake looks absolutely fantastic. The environments look unbelievable. If that carries over to gameplay out of cutscene, but what we saw from first party wasn't compelling in the same way that a lot of its third party stuff was. And while that is a refreshing change, I think it was a little part of my. PlayStation excitement post show is lost in the failing to strike that perfect balance. There was the lulls with Powers and the programming entertainment talk, and this show was supposed to be the litmus test for Sony to demonstrate its. That, one, the 2014 release calendar isn't as sparse as people think, and then, two, that there's a lot to be excited for in 2015. The 2015 titles, I guess this is an extension of, not seeing enough Uncharted. Other things, like Let It Die, just that brief little snippet. Bloodborne was the same thing, just the CG, like, walking.
Makes you wonder that some of those, like, ones that have just these little snippets will be inevitably pushed back to 2016.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. Like, I certainly don't want to hold those things against Sony either, because it's the developers who don't have, may not have footage ready,
Like Bloodborne had the footage not that long ago, showed that it would still look good. So it seemed like they would have been able to have something polished up for like a brief gameplay section if they really needed to. But
purely in the interest of the best, most entertaining show, I just wonder if some of the inclusions like your Bloodborne, like your Let It Die, could have been better placed, giving more time to other things, more time to first parties. Maybe this could have been the right time to debut Guerrilla Games' new IP. Speaking purely speculative, maybe that decision was made to hold off in favor of including those few extra third-party titles. Was that the right choice in the end? I'd argue not, from a spectator standpoint, just purely of the show's entertainment value. So, a 7.5. Enjoyed a lot of what I saw, but I certainly could have seen more of it. More of the titles that matter. Mm. Yeah. Who's gonna buy Entwined? Like, who's loading up PlayStation app right now? None of us? Oh, okay. I'm excited. I'm excited to try it. It looked really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably would. I don't have a PS4 yet. Yeah. So.
Won't be back in time for the Destiny Alpha. Well, we'll catch the tail end of it anyway.
Yeah. Just maybe a few hours.
Yeah.
If the servers are not having issues from being overloaded, because everybody should be playing.
Yeah, Activision's usually good.
Yeah, servers, that's though. True.
I'd say out of all the big ones, they're the best. Because Call of Duty's never really had problems, and they are not.
Well, and especially with,
huge
the
launches.
PlayStation 4 having such good network functionality.
Yes,
comparatively to the PS3, which some could say struggled a bit at times. Mm-hmm. I think that, maybe there won't be any problems.
Well, all that being the case, thank you, PSU listeners, for tuning in to our special E3 podcast as we talk our Sony conference impressions. Did you agree with our thoughts? Did you disagree? Drop a comment below and join the conversation both in our comments and in the forums. And stay tuned for the rest of the week. I mean, we put up, God, what did they say, 51 articles today? Just covering the conferences alone?
Yeah, I think so.
Our home team is pushing out incredible content on the home site. We're going to bring you video impressions and preview coverage from everything we see on the show floor over the next few days. So just keep it locked to PSU. And follow us on Twitter. I'm Payback Prawl.
Ernstylin, E-R-N-S-T-Y-L-I-N.
Ottman Empire.
And Will to Game.
So keep an eye out for our thoughts, and we'll post those up on PSU.com just as soon as we can get them to you. Thanks for listening, and have a great show.